Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
The issue of celibacy, having unmarried priests of the Roman Catholic Church, has been raised in connection with child sex abuse at the Victorian Parliamentary Inquiry over this past week. Australia's leading Catholic, Cardinal George Pell, admitted that it might be a factor in the high rate of child sex abuse in his church. There's growing pressure from within the church to end celibacy around the world. Here in Australia, the leading Australian Jesuit thinker, Father Frank Brennan, has said there is a case for reviewing it. It's an issue that's profoundly impacted the life of my next guest, former priest Kevin Lee. In the midst of parish life, he secretly married and kept it a secret for a year. He's been a key agitator in the calling of the National Royal Commission into institutionalised child sex abuse. Kevin Lee, welcome to Open House.
Thank you, Lee, for talking to me.
Thanks very much for joining us. Kevin, when you entered the priesthood, had you thought through this very significant question of celibacy much?
Certainly, Lee, because it was something that it was explained to us very early on that if you want to become a priest, you're expected to be celibate. But I like to sort of emphasize the fact that I wanted to be a priest. I didn't want to be celibate. And it was the sort of mandatory or compulsory expectation of being celibate, which was the greater pressure for me.
Can I track with you, just briefly, the history of celibacy? How much has that been part of the call to the priesthood?
Well, this is a thing which I found amazing. We were always told that, you know, priesthood had always been celibate. And then as we do your research through the seminary or your own personal study, you come to realize that it was something was imposed in around 600 years after Christ. The reason why it was introduced was to keep the priesthood cheap, because when you had a priest and his family, his son would naturally want to be a priest, and they passed on that priesthood. So the nepotism crept in, and the church became very wealthy. And the Pope of the time thought this wasn't the way Jesus intended things to be, so he enforced celibacy or made it compulsory.
Many popes had been married.
39 popes have married, and a lot of priests. And that's why I found it strange that suddenly the church believed that this was something that was divinely required, whereas I believe it's a man-made regulation.
Kevin, as I said, a couple of years ago, you were in the midst of parish life as a priest at Glenmore Park in Sydney.
Yeah.
And you met Josephina. Take us through that story.
Well, let me go back. So I have written a book about what happened to me, and in my experiences, I was meeting girls along the way. It wasn't something I went out to do. I met girls, I found myself being attracted to them, and I found this great struggle to try and avoid them. And what I found amazing was I would feel these temptations to want to be with these people, and I would go to confession. So I would tell the priest, listen, I'm a priest and I shouldn't probably be doing this, but I've been enjoying the company of a particular woman. And instead of being told, oh, you're a very bad priest and you shouldn't do that, I was being told by the other priest, well, God understands we're human, and, you know, as long as we're trying to do the right thing, I'm sure God understands. So I was hearing it often and often, over and over and over, God understands, it's okay. I wasn't getting from the priest that he himself was accepting of celibacy himself. So it was kind of a permission being given for me to look around and to enjoy the company of women. So that's what I did. And the funny thing was, going back to the conversation with the confessions, one of the priests said to me, because I said, maybe I'm not called to celibacy. And he said, yeah, of course you are, because God wants you to be a priest. So it was always about, don't leave the priesthood, just keep the relationship quiet. Because I came to the belief that celibacy was just a well-choreographed charade, and many men were looking celibate to appease their bishops or pacify their parishes, but weren't really celibate in fact. So that led me to the situation of where when I met Josephina, I felt a strong attraction which I didn't fight. Where in earlier cases I would have met girls and I would have felt some attraction, I would have just stayed straight away from them. It was at a point in my life where I thought celibacy is not something that I really want to embrace for the rest of my existence on this earth.
Although that was incompatible with your position as a priest.
Yeah. Well, at this stage, Lee, I'd really started writing a book about the experiences that I had with other priests who were unfaithful, the priests that I lived with, because up till that time I'd heard anecdotally that priests weren't living celibacy, but I'd never actually seen it, the contradiction in practice, until I lived in some presbyteries with some priests who had boyfriends, all girlfriends, and they were making no secret of it. And but the expectation was that I kept their secret because they knew my secrets. Like when I went to confession to confess that I had a relationship with Josephina and that I felt that it was inappropriate if I was going to be a celibate priest to be spending time with her, I expected, you know, the priest did sort of rip into me and tell me I was a really bad person, but then he just went on to confess his own sinfulness and explained that, you know, like, we're all human, God understands. So it didn't stop me from continuing in that relationship.
But you kept it a secret in your church?
Oh, yes. I kept it a secret because by this stage I decided that celibacy was a bit of a myth, and I wanted to expose that myth. And the best way of actually doing it was to prove, because I would go to the bishop. As a young idealist priest, I would tell the bishop, no, this particular priest I'm living with, he's not a very good role model, he's not ta-la-la. And the bishop would say, oh, yes, yes, we'll look into it, but nothing would be done. And the reason is because there's a great shortage of priests, so they don't want to get rid of the ones they've got. They keep them. So instead of, you know, if Father is having a girlfriend, the bishop doesn't go and say, oh, John, just cut that out, please. You know, he lets him keep going because he keeps John as a priest rather than forcing John to make a decision between his friend or his vocation.
Kevin, a year after you were married to Josephina, the secret came out.
Yeah, I told the story to a journalist because I had spoken to him earlier about the infidelity of many priests, and he said, yeah, we all know. It's in the news all the time. Pedophilia, this sort of thing is all very common knowledge. And so I eventually said, well, what are you ever going to do to bring people's attention to how bad it is? He said, well, something really big has to happen. It has to be a news story. And I said, well, what if I was to tell you that I've gotten married? And at that point, he said, now that'd be news.
Yes.
So I'd already made that decision that I was going to tell the media that I had been married as a way of getting people's interest so that people would admit that the bishops really aren't doing anything to enforce celibacy. See, my bishop, I went to see him at one particular point, and he said that he had heard from people that I had a relationship with a girl overseas. All he wanted me to hear was that he knew. He didn't want me to do anything about it. He just wanted me to be aware that people knew. So it was a kind of situation where I thought, well, the bishop knows, priests in the diocese know, people in my parish know, but no one seems to care, so it's not a big issue.
Had you told your church before you told the media?
No, I didn't.
Why not?
It was really difficult to know who you could trust. There were people in the parish that knew that I had a girlfriend and that she was living with me. Not many of them knew that she was married to me. But they were happy to let me to have that double life because they wanted me to stay as their parish priest. It became public knowledge that I had a wife. The church would force me out, and the people in the parish would probably be devastated by that.
And when they found out, what was the response?
Well, there was a mixed reaction, Lee. Many of the congregation were quite appalled and shocked because they expect that their priest was celibate, and then to find out that he'd been living a lie was something they didn't really understand. But over time, a lot of them came to understand and appreciate because they met the person of Josephina. So it's very easy for people to reject the concept of a married priest, but then to actually see a priest with his wife and to realise the love that we have for one another is something that's real and helpful to my ministry, a lot of them re-embraced me, and I was able to celebrate Mass continually in the homes of people in Glenmore Park. And people continued to support and agree with the whole concept of having their priest as a married man.
I expect there would be people, though, who would say it was an intolerable position for a priest to be in, that you'd been unfaithful to the church, in the eyes of some, even to Christ.
Oh, yes, I was called everything from Judas to the Satan because I had rejected my freely chosen vows. Well, this is what people implied. And I'd written a blog, and I'd got some really vitriolic responses from people who were saying, oh, you're just trying to destroy the church. And I responded to those people charitably by explaining that I never knew at 23 when I made my commitment to celibacy that I would ever meet a girl as wonderful as Josephina, who would make me feel so excited about living my priesthood. So I always believed that this must be part of God's plan, So I said that to people. I don't think it is God's plan that men abuse children in such numbers as we hear about in the news, but it cannot be God's plan that men get married and live happily with their spouse and lead communities with relevant homilies and experiences of their own struggles. So a lot of the people did come around to understanding that, and I even talked to some of those people who were originally great antagonists against me, who have now become very supportive.
But you've had to leave the priesthood.
Well, I was forced to make that choice by the bishop, who said to me that it was untenable to have a married person as a priest. And I said, well, what about the Anglicans? There's a lot of Anglican priests who have come across the Catholic priesthood and been allowed to keep their wife. And they said, yeah, that's because they were already married when they became priests. So they have great difficulty with accepting that possibly celibacy's had its time. It's had a purpose for the missionary church. But in 2013, it's quite difficult to expect a man in a culture that's immersed in promiscuity and sexuality to be refraining from what everyone else is enjoying.
So in the context of the Victorian inquiry initially and then the Royal Commission, do you think celibacy has a future in the Roman Catholic Church?
I really think that for a very small number of monks who live in isolated communities where they don't see women, then it probably can be possible. But I think for a young, virile, heterosexual man living in a community, it's very untenable. And I personally have experience of people that have told me that they didn't start out wanting to be pedophiles. It was just the deprivation which led them to feel that sexual repression. Now, they would never allow themselves to feel sexually attracted to a woman because we were sort of had that drummed into us. But a child is something they weren't prepared for, and that emotional attachment that they had to some of the children that were their daily altar servers or families that they were very much part of the life of was something they never really knew how to deal with, because you weren't prepared in the seminary. They never talked about it. And so the small element within the church of men who feel that attraction were never discouraged.
Kevin, can I ask you what your experience has done to your connection with God?
Well, I've been asked that question, Lee, by many people. They say, do you still pray? Do you still go to church? Of course I do. In fact, it's actually strengthened my commitment to my relationship with God rather than my relationship to the church. Because for a lot of my priesthood, I spent my time trying to please the bishop, doing things that I thought would get the hierarchy's attention rather than doing what I believe was the right thing. So in the latter part of my priesthood, I found myself being attracted to doing things that were actually practical Christianity rather than just pastoral and liturgical. So, yeah, I'm spending a little bit more time now dealing with the poor and living with them and ministering to those sorts of people that have needs rather than the people that just come for their baptisms and their weddings and their funerals.
In particular, at an orphanage in the Philippines where you now live.
Yeah, there's an orphanage there we've had a long association with as a parish, and we've supported them, and I've continued to want to do something for those children, and probably in a way of returning for the, you know, making a sort of compensation for the damage that priests have done to children, to show that priests can work with children without having ulterior motives.
Kevin Lee, I'm very grateful for you sharing your story and coming on Open House tonight. Thank you so much indeed for your time.
Thank you very much, Lee.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.